I don't like to spend too much time rebuking other preachers or other sayings. I feel like it takes time away from my own mission to address what I think are inconsistencies. However, I do think that it's important to kind of separate the Holy Spirit and the search for hearing that voice from the dogma of the past. That makes sense? People who came before us had the Holy Spirit and were filled with wisdom, and they often spoke things that are good and right and true. But because everyone is a product of their time, they also wrote and said some things that I would argue are less accurate. If you talk to George Washington, he would assume that it was right and okay and just to own other people. And if you went back during Jesus' time, you walk by the forum, you could get a bite to eat, you could buy a person, you could go watch somebody be fed to the dogs. You understand what I'm saying? Just because they thought something doesn't mean that we have to think something. Just like things that we think may be proven to be erroneous in the future as the Holy Spirit continues to call us out of our own darkness. So rather than be married to and focused with the past, we need to be focused on the present in our ever-changing lives. And so sometimes I struggle with the idea that all answers have already been laid out before us. I heard somebody say to me this week that all of the answers that we ever need are in the Bible. And I just don't know if I agree. And I don't want to rebuke this person because they're well-meaning, well-intentioned people on their own journey. But if the book was all we needed, then why send the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the author. The Holy Spirit is the generator of all the good things in our lives. So when we read the Bible, there's going to be some things that the Holy Spirit will compel us to think, that's right, that's true, that's good. And there'll be other things, I still got to work on that, still got to pray on that. And we have to be honest and courageous with ourselves on the answers. Because at the end of the day, our journey is our own. Nobody else can take us where the Holy Spirit wants us to go. You can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make it drink. Aiden texted me last night, please wake me up for church. So I woke him up this morning. And then he went back to sleep. I can rouse my Lord from his chambers, but I can't encourage my Lord to come to the church. I can only live my life in a way that may be an example that is compelling to him. If I've got my own house in order, I won't need to tell anybody else about what to do. If I got my own house in order, they'll come to me. Like, hey man, how are you so wise? Nobody's ever said that to me yet, but I got, how are you so peaceful? How are you able to exist in a world with such calm assurance? Well, it's funny you should ask. I've got a helper. Therein lies the gospel. Therein lies spreading the gospel. If my own house is a wreck, like it has been and often still is, and I go to somebody else and I say, you need to do what I do. I'm like, why? So my house can look like yours?
Well, the house don't look better.
If you don't have nothing to offer, you understand? Anyhow, so I was going to save it for Christmas, but I'm going to save it for next week. Judd had spoken about hope this morning, and that just like hit me right here. Because the same Holy Spirit that's in him is in me. And is in all of you and is in everybody. And when somebody speaks a word of truth, you can feel it. And, you know, sometimes cliches and sayings are so kind of worn out that people forget their meaning. You know, we're practicing for Christmas musical this week and last week. And the teachers say to the kids, Jesus is the reason for the season. Which he is. But if you got paid for eye rolls from children, I'd be a millionaire. Because the kids don't care about that. They care about the presence. Right? And the cliched nature of that saying uses it. If you don't got what they want, then your words not only do not affect them, but they lose their value. So that as they get older, the kids scoff at the idea that Jesus is the reason for the season. But he is. He's the hope. I got some bad news, or potentially bad news, last week. Last Sunday was very difficult for me. And I lived in darkness. And then one of the kids coughed on me, and I lived in darkness and also sickness. So I was in dark, sick sin. But because Jesus is the hope, my current circumstances are irrelevant. And I'm going to talk more about that next week. But I think it's important to remember that not only is your walk your own, but your walk is unending. So be encouraged in your times of crisis. Because that's when you have the help that you need. We're going to read a scripture to start out with. We're going to read Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. Exacting discipleship. As they were going along the road, Jesus and his disciples, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But the man said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Another also said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. We see in the scriptures, time and again, where Jesus talks about picking up your cross daily, putting your hand to the plow and not looking back. The hope that Jesus provides only comes when we attend to it. Last Sunday, when I got this news and the beginning of kind of my dark week began, I started to feel sorry for myself. I started to feel fear for the future. I started to feel pity for my children. I had been hand to the plow, working on looking for Jesus, working on finding his voice, on having ears to hear. But then last week, as everybody was gone and a new visitor came and I felt so embarrassed and I got this bad news, I looked back at the life that I had. You understand? So I don't get the kingdom. It's either real or it's not. And it's only real if I make it real through my actions, through my thoughts, through my dedication. The Lord says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, but you got to let him in. I see unhappy people every day, sometimes in the mirror. I see unhappy Christians, I see unhappy Muslims, I see unhappy atheists. Because they're not keeping their hands to the plow. They're being distracted. They're being distracted by good things and bad things. We have to continue to go forward. We have to continue to move forward, regardless of the news that we get, regardless of the things that happen around us. When I lost my father, I thought of how sad I was, how lost I was. But I can't allow that to make me take my hand off the plow. I have to. It's even more important during those times. It's the most important when it's hard. If you're only praying when it's easy, if you're only trying to humble yourself when it's easy, then you're never going to truly find and live out what the Lord wants for you. Broad is the path that leads to destruction. It's easy. It's only those of us that are able to steel ourselves in the hardest times and still find the peace and joy that the Holy Spirit provides. That's the narrow path. We can't be distracted. So when Jesus says, "Follow me," and the guy says, "Yeah, but first," sorry, you're not going to find him with that attitude. Jesus says, "Follow me." "Yeah, but first," sorry, you're not going to find him with that attitude. That's why so few of us have the peace that passeth understanding. It passeth understanding because so few of us have it. And so few of us have it because we're unwilling to keep our hands to the plow. Because we're distracted. We want to look at what those people are doing wrong. We want to look at what those people need to fix. We need to look at all of the things. I got to buy Christmas presents for my daughter. I got to do this and that and the other. All of those things are good, but first, I have my hand to the plow. Every day, I pick it up. Every day, I pick it up. Every day, I take another step. When calamitous things happen, I keep my hand to the plow. Because that's the security, that's the hope. I lose people that I love, but I keep my hand to the plow because I know I'll see them again. People talk, the bills come and the devil wants to stress me out about money. I keep my hands to the plow because I got to keep it together. I got to get that hope to figure it out, that he'll help me, he'll help me, he'll help me. The person cuts me off and I want to get angry at him. I keep my hand to the plow because when I have it focus on the Lord, then the peace lasts. I was at Starbucks this morning, and there was 100,000 people in there. All of them jockeying for position without trying to look like they were jockeying for position. And there were 9 Starbucks employees, but 4 of them decided to take a break at that moment. The sin that lives in my members started to whisper very logical things. And I could tell that I was taking my hand from the plow to look at all of these people who were wronging me so egregiously on a Sunday morning. Don't they know that I got places to be? I got to wait with the rest of these plebs? How dare they take a break? Don't they know I want my coffee right now? And I could have been so frustrated like I have been for 99% of my life. But because I've gained a little bit of freedom, I kept my hand to the plow. The Holy Spirit says, "Relax, Gabriel. Your coffee will come. Humble yourself, Gabriel. You don't deserve coffee more than the rest of these people." Then it whispers, "Maybe you drink too much coffee." It compels me when I have my hand to the plow. There could be a million people in that coffee. They could say, "We're out of coffee." Okay. When I'm in that spirit, any hardship can be overcome. I have the help. I'm plowing the field. I'm planting good seeds. And when I plant them, they raise up. And so when I hear bad news, the Holy Spirit builds me up. It fortifies me. It strengthens me. I don't need to spread the gospel to them. I need to cling on to it like a man on a rat. Because of all the things. Because of all those things out there, that's why I got to keep my hand to the plow. Broad is the path that leads to destruction, not hell. God loves us. Broad is the path that leads to impatience, to bigotry, to lust, to irritation, to anger, to all of the things that leave us unhappy and wanting. Narrow is the path that leads to the kingdom of heaven, because so few of us are willing to keep our hand on the plow. I should go to church. Man, it's freezing in there. I'll go to church next week. Has nothing to do with going to the building. It has to do with the fact that you have dedication to put your walk ahead of other things. I should pray every morning. Yeah, dude, but I'm busy, man. Like, you know, I got this and this and this. Those are all right. But Jesus says you're not going to get in with that attitude. But first I got to do... It's your own walk. Have courage and determination. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and the rest of it will come. But people put their search for the kingdom of God last, and then they wonder why they're miserable. There are not enough video games on this planet to fill the hole. There's not enough booze on this planet to fill the hole. There's not enough women, there's not enough money, there's not enough anything to fill the hole. If the hole ain't filled, you're stuck. You're out of luck. You turn to a pillar of salt like Lot's wife. Stay focused. Stay focused, Gabriel. Stay focused. Yeah, but what if, dude? What about my kids? What about me? Stay focused, Gabe. If you're focused on the Lord, the peace will come. And then anything that happens after that, you'll be able to take, because you got the strength. Because you got the wisdom. Because you got the anchor. You got that anchor that will keep you safe and sound in the sea that tosses all of you. Yeah, but what if? What if I get sick? He'll heal you. Yeah, but what if I die? You'll see the people you love again. Yeah, but what if I lose my house? You'll find another. Pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. You measure your life. You measure it. Measure it by the things out there, and you will always find it wanting. It's true or it's not. It's true if there's 5 people in here, if there's 1,000 people. It's true if I'm broke or if I'm rich. It's true. It's not true in here. It's true in here. It's true in here. It's always been true. It was true yesterday. It's true tomorrow. I put myself through hell for 35 years because my hand was off the plow. Who's got time to go to church, man? I got other things to do. I'm not going to pray, man. I got to do all these fun things to do. The prodigal son, wandering the earth like Cain. None of it ever was going to bring me peace. It's not until I stop, put my hand to the plow, and move forward in strength. Even now, especially now, oh, your son didn't come to church. Be a better man. He will. He will. Live the life that you need to live, and he will. How have we been led astray? How for 2,000 years have we been led astray? The Holy Spirit is handcrafted for each one of us, for your strengths and your weaknesses. But the rub is, so is the devil. The pitfalls that he has for you are not the pitfalls that he has for me. I have strengths in ways that you may be weak. I'm weak in ways that you may be strong. So you must find the decoder ring and tend to it. And he'll lead you to all truth. You just got to prioritize. I always think, man, how am I so broke? Because you spend all your money, dude. You spend all your money. Yeah. I mean, like, Taco Bell's not going to eat itself, brother. So, what are you going to do? If you don't save money, you don't have money, Gabe. If you don't pray and seek the Lord, you don't have peace. Why am I so miserable? Why am I so anxious? Why am I so this, that, and the other? Look back. Look back at your time. Have you been consistent? Have you been dutiful? Have you been seeking Him? Or have you been making excuses? I want to follow you, Lord. All right, come on. Oh, yeah, but just one second. Sorry, man, you're not going to get in with that attitude. New Year's resolutions. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to save some more money. I'm going to do this and that and the other. But first, I got to do this. And I let myself off the hook. I let myself off the hook. There's nobody in their right mind who doesn't want peace, who doesn't want kindness and joy and love in their life. And yet so few of us have it, or we have it for such fleeting moments. You don't get the six-pack abs if you don't do the workout and eat right. You don't get the peace of mind if you don't follow the Lord. Call Him whatever you want. Call Him the universe. He doesn't care. Follow His voice. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. There were two stories. I'm going to, because it's freezing in here, I'm going to paraphrase. In Luke, Jesus has fed the 5,000. And the disciples are amazed, obviously. And Jesus says, "Who do the people say I am?" And one of them says, "Some people say you're Elijah. Some people say you're Moses. Some people say you're this, that, and the other." And Peter stands up and says, "Thou art the Christ." And Jesus looks straight at him and says, "Blessed are you, Peter, for flesh and bone has not revealed this to you, but my spirit." The rest of them were there. The rest of them, he was knocking. Peter opened the door. That's the difference. Jesus is walking on the water. All of them are on the boat. Peter's the only one that stands out. So Peter gets the things. He gets the experiences. He gets the revelations. He's the man of action. How many of us are plotting and scheming our next big thing, and it just falls apart? As Netflix says, play next episode, and I say, don't mind if I do. There's nothing wrong with Netflix. But if I'm not seeking the Lord first and Netflixing and chilling second, then I will not get the rewards that I want. I must tend to business. First and foremost. This Christmas holiday, be blessed. In your freezing church, be blessed in your car ride home. Be blessed with your families. Enjoy them. Enjoy the gifts that you get and that you give. Enjoy the people, enjoy the holidays, enjoy all of the things that you want to enjoy. But first, put your hand to the plow and get down to business. For your own goodness, for your own sake, for your own children that you worry about, for your own parents that you worry about, for your own everything, tend to yourself first. And then with the knowledge that you are filled with peace and wisdom, open up your Hello Kitty blanket. Tend to yourself first. And then enjoy all of the good things the Lord has given you. The world can be dark. It can be scary. But it can also be awesome. It can also be glorious. It can also be beautiful. I have a friend who lives in misery because of Donald Trump. Would you have him rob you of the glorious world the Lord has created for you? Would I be robbed of my children worrying about the bills? Would I be robbed of the peace that the Lord can give me every single day By looking at the Starbucks employees taking their break that they deserve and need? It's my decision. It's my decision how I live my life. I could be miserable. I had an old lady who came into Trader Joe's over the book. And she paid with a paper check. That's all right. You know, I'm not the judge of anybody. But as she was, I'm bagging her groceries and she had like frozen broccoli. And as I was bagging the groceries, some of the ice fell off onto the little thing, you know, that we bagged the groceries. And then when she like wrote her check, she time traveled back from 1952 and put her check on the, sorry, I'm still working on my freedom from sarcasm. She put her check on the little table there, and I asked to see her ID so I could write it down. And then as she was leaving, she turned to me and said, "Be sure you clean up that water. I'd hate to think of anybody else's groceries got wet like mine." And I was like, I'll get some paper towels right now. I don't say that. Well, maybe I do say that a little bit to like... It's her decision. Do you understand? It's her decision to go to Trader Joe's and have that experience. It's my decision whether I allow that to ruin my night. I have, since I waited tables for 1,000 years, I have allowed people to ruin my night through their rudeness. Because I'm not seeking the kingdom first. I'm worried about all of those other things. How dare they? How dare she? Doesn't she know who I am? Speak to me so derisively. You know what I should have said? Ooh, you know what I should have said? When she said that, I should have said, spin this whole thing. She walks off in her car and lives the rest of her life. And I'm stuck in that moment. Or I choose to keep my hand to the plow and it floats off me. And I live my life in peace. The bills come, I tend to business and they get paid. Or I don't and I stress and I run around like a chicken with my head cut off. I keep my hand to the plow for my own sanity. Keep my hand to the plow for my own hope and for my own strength. For my own peace of mind, I take it. Every morning I take it by praying. Every morning I take it. It's ours. It's right there. It's right there. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. However you get up in the morning, integrate prayer time. I sat in that back corner for 1,000 years as Dad talked about prayer, and I rolled my eyes. I got stuff to do. I'm going to read this card. And I just allowed him to take and take and take. Shutting it off. Taking it back. Hand to the plow. Be blessed this week. Be warm this week. I'm going to close the prayer. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your peace, Lord. Help us this week, Lord. Help us to find habits. Help us to find practices. Help us to find schedules. To find a way to put you first. Remind us, Lord, throughout the day to keep our hand to the plow. Remind us to look inside of ourselves and hear your calm assurance. Help us to remind ourselves during the good times that we are blessed. And help remind us during the bad times that we are blessed, that we're protected, that we are bolstered. The same Spirit that created the cosmos follows us and helps us. Thank you, Lord. Heal us in our minds. Heal us in our bodies. Bless us in our jobs. Bless us in our relationships. Encourage us. Bind the enemy from us. And bring us back next week filled with the good news of your blessings and all the rewards that we've gained by keeping our hand to the plow. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Oh, yeah.